And welcome to another edition of the Aeolian Impromptu. I'm your host, Maya Barsak. Today, my guest is Brazilian-American composer, pianist, arranger, and singer Clarice Assad. Her compositions include works for a variety of instrumentations and ensembles. Her works and musical explorations have been heavily influenced by Brazilian music, jazz, and world music. Let's start by listening to Estamos Aí, a song by Eleni Andrade and arranged by Clarice Assad. We just heard Estamos Aí. Let's turn now to a chat I had with Clarice.
You're based in Chicago, right?
Yes, in Chicago.
And how's the windy city these days?
I really love it here. It's definitely windy, but it's a happy place for me because I went to college here. I have family here, so it's all good.
Oh, great. And so what are you working on right now?
So right now I'm working on a big opera production. Actually, it's a hybrid opera. It's not really operatic voices, but it's a mix of lots of different voices for a Brazilian production that is going to hopefully happen next year. But because of what's going on, we're not sure. However, we're going ahead with the creative side.
Nice. When you say hybrid, can you give us a little bit more details?
Yes, of course. It's an opera that the theme of the opera really is the musical theme anyways, gypsy music. So we're going to use three operatic voices as the main characters, and we're going to have a choir, right, of people with very different vocal qualities. So we're going to have people who sing mostly like in Arabic, you know, different languages, Spanish, Brazilian singers, obviously, because it's going to be in Brazil. But it's going to be that kind of different fabric of voices that happen in the world. It's like, I guess a lot of people would call it world music. Probably use singers who are in Brazil right now, who are refugees, actually, to make up this other part of the opera.
The refugees from where?
From all over the place. There are quite a few of them. In fact, there is an orchestra there called Orquestra Mundana Refugi, which is made up of only refugees. It's amazing.
Interesting. And so what kind of aesthetic are you putting together if you're going to have all these different kinds of voices or styles of voices?
Well, we are using them as, you know, like most of the time they're going to sing together. So that's going to separate that. I mean, there is one of the voices, which is a voice that appears throughout the piece, which is the mother of the main character. And she very much sings like a flamenco kind of style, you know, way. I'm not the first person to do that at all. I mean, do you know Osvaldo Golihov?
Yes, of course.
That's pretty much how he's written for vocal his entire life. He would mix up different kinds of voices in his compositions, you know, but it's something that stayed with me since the first time I saw it. And I always thought, oh, I think this could definitely work for me as a composer to experiment with something like that. He really changed the way that music should be thought of as far as bridging styles together. I appreciate that very much.
Interesting, neat. Yeah, so is he like somebody that has instigated or a new way for you to look at vocal music or your own singing?
No, I think he like what he did, I mean, indirectly, I did meet him once and I did take a workshop with him many, many years ago with singers and actually trusting your own instincts and creating something newish. Anyway, it's not like reinventing the wheel, but it's being very authentic. I like that.
And so how do you go about writing music? I mean, do you have a process that you like to go through, or is it improv? I mean, how do you go about laying out the first, let's say, foundation of a new piece?
Oh, it depends so much on the piece, right? It depends on the work. I like to have time to let ideas come to me rather than be chasing for them. That's really painful. To chase for ideas is horrible. But for some reason, if I have, like, let's say, months in advance and somebody asks me to write something for them, it will have an incubation period of life inside of my own head. And eventually I'll be able to just sit down and write, because all these, I work a lot with images and themes and things like that. So I like having the time to have things come to me. I don't know if that makes sense. It's hard to explain, but that's the best I can do right now.
No, that's great. But it sounds like you're very much influenced by images and by settings, perhaps.
Yeah, I love stories. I really love, I've always been drawn to storytelling. When I was younger, I thought I wanted to write music for films because I loved telling stories, and that's what films are all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the music for films is not the same as writing anything. Like, it's not like writing concert music, because the music in concert music is the main course, I would say, right? But writing for film, it's not. You have to support the story that you're looking at, right? And that was hard for me because I was kind of always competing against the image, because I was like, oh, the music is more important. But, you know, not a good marriage for me.
I was going to ask, what kind of good marriage is there out there for you in terms of collaboration with other art forms?
Collaboration would be anything that inspires me, anybody who inspires me. I really love writing for people who are going to go out there and perform, you know? I think that's what it is. And that could be anybody. I love live music, so I'm really suffering right now because of the lack of live music. I guess the bottom line is that I really enjoy doing it. And I enjoy collaborating with all kinds of different musicians in all different levels of performing.
So can I ask what's piquing your curiosity right now?
Right now, I'm really into this podcast that I'm working on, a series of interviews with singers from all over the world. And most of these singers, they sing really differently than what anybody hears. Completely unique. So I started, you know, spending more time on the internet because of this pandemic, and then learning about musicians that I would probably not normally have if I had been running around from gig to gig in the world, you know. So I've always wanted to do a podcast related to the vocal exploration, because that's my workshop. I teach this vocal workshop all over the world. I've been doing this for a decade, and I've always wanted to have like a place that people can go to and listen to these people. But guess what? No time. And now I have time. So I'm working on that. And that's really excitement, real excitement for me.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, there's so many different types of singing and ways of utilizing the voice. And so what's the name of your podcast?
It's called Voxploration, the Voxploration Podcast.
Fabulous. So any closing words, anything that I didn't ask you about that you would like to share?
I don't know. You know, this is always such a difficult question to answer.
You know, like, we all live in the moment, hopefully, and we're all steering our ship as best we can.
Yes. And
right now, you know, given what's happening in your life, and there's a lot of things, not just professionally, but personally, emotionally, etc. In this moment, what comes to mind that we haven't talked about that you want to share?
You know, I just really honestly, the thing that I, number one thing that I have in my mind is that we are able to get out of this rut as safely as possible. That's the only major thing that, you know, the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what I worry a little bit about. Because I am really lucky that I haven't been hit so hard as I could have been, because I'm a musician and this has been a very, very difficult time for most of my friends in Brazil and in the United States, especially because I have both these connections are the stronger and they happen to be the worst countries for COVID. So yeah, that's what is mostly in my mind these days.
Mm. Yes, we can only hope that we're going to come out of this as unscathed as possible. It is difficult. It's very difficult for the arts. It's very difficult for a lot of industries. But culture is keeping us entertained of sorts. And we just have to remember that we have to take care of the people who take care of our souls.
Yeah, exactly. You just said it. That's it. Beautifully put.
Thank you. Well, Clarice, it was really a pleasure connecting with you.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to segue now to a couple pieces composed by Clarice Assad. We're going to hear Mare de Agua Viva, which is part of her piece Elementos, which was composed in 2016 for mezzo-soprano, violin, B-flat clarinet, and piano. And this features the Soli Ensemble with Clarice Assad. This will be followed by the last song, which features the Michigan Philharmonic with Clarice Assad on piano, conducted by Nan Washburn.
Thank you.
We just heard the last song by Clarice Assad, featuring the composer herself at the piano with the Michigan Philharmonic under the direction of Nan Washburn. And this was preceded by Mare de Agua, which is part of her piece Elementos. And this features Clarice and the Soli Ensemble. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back with another interview soon. Till then, be well.